Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, everybody. We wish you a happy new year. It's actually such a good possibility for everyone to send good wishes, and actually toward everyone. Everyone can express their good wishes to others. It's actually very joyous and very nice moment that we can do. We will now have the last lecture of our Sankamela Festival 2002. And I was reflecting how actually on New Year we take new resolutions, usually we try at least, and how much those new resolutions will be connected to our aspirations. So by following this Sankamela Festival, we have worked a lot into developing those aspirations. So now we can take like proper resolution on the base of those aspiration. Yesterday, or during actually the entire seminar or festival, Solina Sachinathana Swami was bringing us into this point of listening from the acharyas, reading their prayers. And yesterday he said something very beautiful. I paraphrase, but Maharaj was saying that when you read the prayers of the acharya, in order to become closer to Radha Krishna, then Krishna himself will come closer to us. So we will hear now the last lecture of our festival, and we are very happy to welcome His Holiness Sachinandana Swami.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Please accept my very, very respectful obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm very happy to address you today on the subject of starting the new year with strength. Let us, just before I start, check whether or not I'm audible. Gaurahari, can you hear me well?
Good. Yes, Gomash.
Good. So, starting the new year with strengths, I think, is a beautiful subject, and I will discuss today a very interesting and, I feel, very relieving perspective. Very often we feel doubtful that on our own strengths, on our own steam, we can go much further than we are already. But it is possible to access an unlimited ocean of strength, and then, not by our power, but by His power, move on very nicely and surprisingly easily. And I would like to talk about this. So please don't worry. I will not give you a fired up new self-help talk, you know, but I will give you a way, I hope, which can help you to get new strengths. I always remember the analogy Prabhupada gave. When someone rides on his bicycle, he can go in a certain speed, but if he holds on to a truck and allows himself to be pulled by the truck, he can really move very fastly onwards. So let us start by singing a little bit, and then we go right into the class. Which tonality, please? Yeah. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Gives me a special pleasure to address all of you. I thank you for being with us, although I realize some of you, including myself, had a very short night. The subject matter of today is starting the new year with strength. In previous New Year's messages, I would always say what are various factors which we know in spiritual life that will give us strength. But this year I want to take an entirely different approach. Let go of all of this and let Krishna do. There is a reason. The reason is that as we are going into the next year, we already do know that slowly our world changes. I have a certain theory that just like certain biological functions need to be there. There are also certain functions that are necessary for the world to go on. And one is change. What do I mean? Have you seen that if you study the history of mankind in regular intervals, you find either large-scale wars that wipe out parts of civilization, or smaller-scale wars, maybe families or villages, village to village, neighborhood to neighborhood. Or there are big epidemies like the pestilence in the medieval time, which wiped out one third of the population of Europe. And our bodies, have you noticed? Old teeth sometimes go. Every old hairs are falling out in the skin. Dry skin develops and needs to go. It seems that for the world to go on, there needs to be constant change. And also, what we experience now all over the world is a change factor. Humanity is evolving from one step to the next. And changes are unavoidable in this world, but when they happen, they can be quite painful, quite intense. We can enter a period which is scary for us, the period of non-knowing, of understanding things go out of my hands and out of my control. At that time, the wisest way to respond to change is to develop a healthy inner life, a healthy spiritual life. Look at Arjuna. When Arjuna had his moment of pain and uncertainty, it was something like a crisis. He stood before a huge battlefield and saw on the opposite side people whom he actually adored, whom he loved. And he felt overwhelmed. He could not fight. It's not that he did not want. He could not. His mouth dried up. His bow fell from his hands. He almost fainted. He had to lean on the pole, flagpole of his chariot. He was practically trembling. It was what we describe in our civilization a total breakdown. He could not face the battle. He could not fight. Don't we also sometimes feel overwhelmed like this? That we are actually not capable to make sense of it all any longer and to go on. At that time it's important to turn to Krishna. It's always important, but especially when big things are ahead of us, we need to turn to Krishna. In the Gita, Krishna says, Machchita Sarvadurga Ni, when you are aware of me, you will by my strength be able to cross all the obstacles of conditioned life. It will be possible by my strength. Krishna begins to instruct Arjuna, and he comes to the 15th chapter, which is called Purushottam Yoga, connection with God. You know, it's what we look for in this lecture. And in the beginning of the chapter, before Krishna will talk about this yoga that connects us with him, he first needs to disillusion Arjuna. He says, I will give you now Guhyatamang Shastram, the most secret teaching. He will say, this world is not what it appears to be. It is not the original. It's a reflection of the spiritual world. And he gives the grief-stricken Arjuna an analogy. The analogy of a huge banyan tree that is reflected on the banks of a river. And he says, this banyan tree that is reflected, it is in Sanskrit ashvataha. It means a means not, and svataha means tomorrow. It will not be there tomorrow. It is temporary. It changes with the waves, and it changes when the next day, when the night falls, you can't see it any longer. The Prabhupada says the living entity wanders in this reflected tree, this world of this not original world, this reflected world, this false world of it wanders from branch to branch. There's no end. One body after the other, we wander through this material world. And then he gives the awe-stricken Arjuna is, whoa, this is not the real world. Aha, it is a reflection. I must go to the real thing. He says, you need to remove yourself from the illusions of this world. Cut it. Cut the illusion with a sharp axe of detachment. Cut it down. And then seek for the original place, the place from which one, when one has once gone there, will never return to this world. And there, he says, surrender to the Supreme Lord. Let us talk about this, let go of our own control a little bit more in the perspective of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita teaches you always to think differently. It teaches you this world is not your home. It's not the original place where you can find rest. It's more like a hotel room. You do your business and you move on. You don't stay for too long. Prabhupada gave this example. If you stay in a hotel room, you don't become so much worried about putting new paintings there, replacing the bed and the furniture with a new bed and new furniture. No, you sleep there, you do your business, and the next morning you travel on. Here in the world we learn, pursue your dreams. Aim very high in your life. Make a difference. Come on. But the Gita teaches better than pursuing your material dreams. It's to wake up from the dreams and discover the reality of the spiritual world. The reality of this world will never match your dreams. You have a very high aspirations, but the reality will never match it. But if you discover the reality of the spiritual world, of Krishna consciousness, this will far exceed or supersede, be much higher than your boldest dreams. In bhakti, this is important, to develop a healthy detachment from this world and a good attachment to the spiritual world. When I said healthy detachment, I did not mean to cut it all together and become a sannyasi and live in the forest. Oh, it's too cold in the forest. It means to engage the world in your purpose, in your spiritual purpose. This is the bhakti detachment. It is not to drop the clock, throw it away, but it's to engage the clock in the service of Krishna. In other words, not to throw away your time and become inactive, passive, withdrawn. No, to utilize the time which you have in this body in the service of Krishna. And then something very interesting happens. The reality turns around and becomes something else. The scriptures give us two descriptions of the world, and you can take your choice. They call it, in many places, a miserable place of suffering, like in the Gita, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Somewhere else it is described as vishvampuna sukhayate, a place where wherever you turn there is happiness. the scriptures warn us to not fall deep into the well of materialistic living. But they say, when you practice bhakti, you are entering a safe boat by which you cross all the miseries of material existence. The Shastras tell us this world can gives you great suffering, but at other places the Shastra says this world can give you the greatest benefit. It is artadha. It can give you dha, artha, great wealth. And why are there these two opposite descriptions of the world? Yeah, the Shastras want to teach us. We look at the world from one perspective, the perspective of godless attachment, where we, without calculating Krishna in our life, without centering our lives on Krishna, then we do suffer. But when we put Krishna into the center, we can actually let go of these things, attitude, activities that only entangle us in suffering. Now, I have a friend in London, and in London they have these dog races. The dogs are called greyhounds. I saw them in my last London visit. I saw these. They're very skinny. They have very small heads. I mean, sharp nose and small head, and then very skinny body, very long legs. And they are known to be able to run so fast that there are dog races. There are stadiums where the dog races are made, and these dogs are running with great effort and great, sometimes they die early of heart failure. They run around in circles. When does the greyhound stop running? My friend told me once, you know, the greyhound dog is a really miserable life. They live in these small they come into the small boxes, then they're agitated, and they become all excited. And then at one stage, the door of the cage opens, the door of the box opens, and then there is a little rabbit. It's not a real rabbit, it's an electronic rabbit. It is running on a track by electronic control around the racetrack, and the dog, seeing this false rabbit, this it's made with a little cloth, maybe they put a little perfume on the rabbit so that it smells like a real rabbit. And then it electronically moves very fast around the track, and they all run behind it trying to catch it. Now imagine one of these dogs, and these races are very fast, you know, and they are really, really, really have to give their best, you know, to win the first prize. Now, when one dog realizes, oh, this rabbit is not a real rabbit, it is an imitation rabbit, it is some plastic with some cloth and maybe a little rabbit perfume, then the greyhound dog says, thank you, I peacefully walk I don't take part in this dog race any longer. When you see something as it is, when you see the world not like it appears, but like it really is, you can relax. Is it so important that I become successful? Is it so important that I reach the top of the ladder? Is this relationship, which is so difficult, so important to maintain? Is this goal, which is so difficult to reach, really that important to reach? Will it really fulfill me? With a healthy sense of detachment, you can let go and let God take over in your life. And that is the lesson of for someone who wants to learn something very wonderful in spiritual life. It is to take shelter. You can let go of the false things, of the reflection, of the unreal part of the world, very easy when you know the art of taking shelter and obtaining shelter. It's very difficult, though, when you have no positive standing, nothing to replace your attachments which are taken away from you with. Only if you can. Prabhupada once said in the second canto, detachment in Krishna consciousness means attachment. Detachment from Maya and attachment to Krishna. You have to see how you can increase your attachment to Krishna. Then it is very easy, because then you have and you can take shelter. Be reminded of Krishna's pastime, the Giriraj Leela. As you all know, the world changed for the Brijbasis when Indra sent this huge rain catastrophe. It was an, I hope I can say the word properly, apocalyptic rainfall. It was day, but all of a sudden these heavy rain clouds came and it became pitch black. You couldn't see the hand before your eyes. Then rain started to... First these terrible winds came, which were so strong that you couldn't run from one house to the other. It was just... The wind would make you fall over. And then came the most heavy things, the heavy rainfall, which soon converted Vrindavan into just almost an ocean field. You couldn't distinguish, says Sugadev Goswami, between the mountaintops and the valleys. It was all covered with this rainwater. At that time, Krishna had a little meeting with his friends and the friends asked Krishna, what should we do now? And Krishna said, I will lift a mountain. and provide shelter for all of you. The friends said, no, Krishna, this is too risky. If you lift the mountain, it can shake and it can bury you underneath. This is very risky. As a child, I once lifted, I once watched in our town on the island where I lived, there were different, you know, village entertainments, and there was, it must have been a circus or something, someone who lifted very heavy weights, but somehow he chose a weight which was just too heavy for him, and when he lifted the weight, somehow the shoulder came out of its right location, and the weight crashed down on his neck, and boom, he was pushed to the ground. He was he had to be committed to the hospital. He fortunately did not die or anything, but that was the end of his weight lifting career. We heard, you know, we little boys knew everything on the island. We studied everything. The friends of Krishna, like Subal, Shaka, Madhumanga, they said, if you lift Giriraj, you're small, Giriraj is tall. And then the mountain will pressure down on you and you will be buried, and all those, give us a proof that you are so strong. You are talking only Krishna. So Krishna, seeing the beautiful concern of his friends, the love, he saw a tree in the distance, big tree, like this tall. You can still see the tree. It is there, let me see, like, wow, very tall. And he climbed on the tree and he smiled to them, and he then took one of the branches and turned it, somehow twisted it without breaking it. It was a big branch. And the coward boy said, okay, you can go, you lift Giriraj. So Krishna ran from where he was. He didn't even take time to bind his dhoti properly. He just ran to the southern part of Giriraj. It's the tail end. And then he touched Giriraj with his hand. A cave opened, a tunnel-like cave. You know, he entered and it became very deep. And he went right to the middle of Giriraj through the tunnel. And then he took the pinky, I think is the small finger. This is a pinky of his left hand. And he lifted Giriraj. And then the mountain very slowly rose. It made a rumbling sound. Then Krishna with his beautiful voice called out, "Oh mother, oh father, oh all you saintly people of Vrindavan, come under the hill. I feel no inconvenience. It is as light as the puff of a cotton, you know, cotton puff. And I have made this place for you just like heavens. You can come down. There is in the middle a golden staircase. You can come down. And Then, of course, there was water all around. I told you it was like an ocean. But Krishna called his Sudarshan Chakra, which evaporated all the water so that it could not rush under the water, under the hill. And he protected that the whole area by requesting, "Oh, Sheshanag, Sheshanag, come! You have a big body. You should move around. You are like a huge snake, and you should lie on top of your coils and form a wall so that no water rushes in." So when the Brijbasis saw this, that Krishna was standing there with his beautiful limbs, his hair falling around his head, he always smiles. Our Lord always smiles. They came. It is described in the hearts of the Brijbasis. They didn't really think to look for protection. They just wanted to be close to Krishna. That was all they cared about, to be close to Krishna, because they had the experience. Whenever they were close to Krishna, no evil, no problems could befall them. But to be close to Krishna in our lives means to take shelter. Now shelter, I believe I have talked already about this in the last seminar. To take shelter means really three things, and it's important that a devotee understands these three aspects of shelter, because only then he or she will feel this great relief that shelter offers from the miseries of material existence. The first dimension of shelter is protection. Maybe like you find shelter from rain. Where I live, near Berlin, in our little ashram, we daily try to walk. Yesterday was too busy, but today I will walk again. We have a big round. Part of it goes through a forest, another part through the trees. And there are two shelters. When it rains, it does rain here a lot, there are two places I can run to. One is a little house which is not used, which has a big roof, you know, which extends, so I can run there when it rains. I can take a chair there. There are chairs, you can put it there. You can find shelter. Another shelter, rain shelter, is where we have a little football field. There is a little rain shelter also with a bench, and I've often run there and found shelter. This is the first idea of shelter. It's like a physical place, like, for instance, we go to the temple, we go before the altar, and we take shelter. We human beings need this type of physicality to shelter. This is one thing which happens when you take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. He makes some arrangement for you so that somehow you can survive even in this material dimension. The second definition of Sharana is not just physical but mental and emotional shelter. It's developing a standpoint, a certain perspective that helps you to look with detachment on this world, where you are no longer so much engaged in the in what the world throws of at you. You take it less serious. It doesn't go so much under your skin any longer, and doesn't affect you in this adverse emotional way, where you become anxious, where you become dislocated, where you become, let us say, without a perspective in your life, and where you feel just overwhelmed by life and pushed into a corner where you almost can only defend yourself, so on. So this second form of shelter is a little bit more subtle. It's not an external arrangements. It is more in a base, a standpoint, a view, a perspective that that helps you. And the last and third dimension of shelter is a sadhana, a spiritual practice where your soul feels somewhat at home. Have we not all felt this? Our mind is a little distracted maybe at times. And then finally we find in us the courage to just let go, sit down before the altar and chant. And as we chant, we can let go of the problems, and we feel accepted, we feel sheltered, and we feel, I'm not sure how, I once heard this English word, and I like it very much, but I find people are not using this in their English language. We find a holding context. You know, when a baby is held in the arms of his loving mother or loving father, it feels sheltered. So when you have a spiritual practice that makes you feel Krishna, Krishna's presence very tangible, you can almost touch it. At that time, when you are sheltered like this, you feel very much relieved from the pangs of material life. So let us summarize. Shelter, to find shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, will mean that he makes some arrangement where you feel protected, also in a physical way. It means to find a perspective and a view and a standpoint, a base, philosophical understanding or any type of perspective that gives you peace, inner peace. And it finally means to find a spiritual practice in which you feel sheltered, in which you feel the holding context, if you so want, of Krishna's strong arms. After all, he has strong arms. He lifted Giriraj to shelter the devotees. They had a physical arrangement. They had a roof over their head. They had a standpoint. Yes, when we are close to Krishna, nothing can happen to us. When we are on the side of God, standing next to him. And their sadhana was simple. They stood before Krishna and just had darshan of Krishna. They looked at him. And in that, you know, gazing at Krishna, staring at Krishna, talking to each other, see this beauty of his lips, it's so wonderful. They forgot everything which was outside, all this echo, what is it, apocalyptic rainfall. Going into the new year with strength means ask yourself, are you still anatta or are you sanatta? Anatta, not anartha, anatta without R means without a Lord where you're sheltered, and sanatta means, sa means together with anatta, not a Lord, under whose shelter you are protected. No, this is necessary. I want to now summarize and come to the close and see if you have some questions. I wanted to share something with you. I think we all remember with great happiness how Parikshit Maharaj found shelter in the Bhagavad Katha. You know, he had received a death notice. In 7 days he would die by the bite of a snake. And he left his palace. He could understand the palace would not provide him any shelter. He went to the Mother Ganga. He sat down there, and then the saintly son of Vyasadev arrived at the bank. Sugadev Goswami and Parikshit asked him this classical question: What should I do now, where I'm standing at the brink of death, at the threshold of death? And Sugadev Goswami told him that it's now important to give up the attachment to the fallible world, the world which will, you know, in 7 days fall away from him. He will be carried out of this world or ripped out of this world, and take shelter in Krishna. How do we do this? Asked Parikshit. Well, I will tell you the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sugadev Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam. In a way, he finished in the 79th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam. But he felt something was not yet said, and in the 79th chapter of the Bhagavatam, all the demons were killed. There was not one demon left, and you remember Krishna had appeared to relieve the earth from the burden of these really heavy demons. But Parikshit did not want Sugadev Goswami to to stop reciting, and he says, Parikshit asks a question: please don't stop. The whole aim of life, as I understand it from you, is that I need to be in connection with Krishna. Just like a leaf becomes dead when it loses its connection to the living tree, in the same way we become useless and shelterless if we lose our connection to Krishna. And then he describes how we can be connected in this world with Krishna and find shelter. And I think if you hear these verses, although they are traditional verses and they have heavy philosophy, you will understand a little bit what you can do in the new year. Savagyayatasya gunan grinite karo chatat karma karo manascha smaret vasantam stirajangamesho shrinoti tat punyakata sakana shirastutasyo baya lingamanamit tad eva yat pasyati tat dichakshu angani vishnu atatatsyananam padodakam jani bhajanti nityam. Actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands, you know, living hands, not dead hands, are hands that work for him. A true mind is a mind which remembers Krishna dwelling or living in the hearts of everything that is moving as well as non-moving. It is seeing Krishna behind everything. And actual ears are those that listen to the sanctifying topics about him. And he goes on that an actual head is a head which bows down to the Lord and so on. What he describes is bhakti, which means a total engagement of the of the senses in Krishna's service. So my New Year's message to all of you is try to look for shelter. Let Krishna do. Let go, and there's a saying in the material world, let go, let God, you know. So let go and surrender to Krishna, and you will see some changes. I want to show you something. I will ask Gokrishna, can you give my planner? You know that planner? Yeah. As you look before the year, it is really like an empty planner. I want to now talk practically. You could try now to do what I used to do each year. I became aware of the different speaking engagements that are already fixed, like for instance, I have a few fixed programs. One is around for Nityananda's appearance day. I would go for to Goloka Dham. Then Yamashtami, I would go. Then I would go in the summer to the Swiss summer camp. And then in between, I would go to big festivals in the world. I would take part in conferences. I would visit different places and take part in various activities. So I would take the year and I would have this planner and I would fill it up. There would be Nishinga Chaturdasi, and if I show you these my old planner, they would be full of blue, red, and black planning. Look at this planner; it's empty. 2022 is empty. Have I become a lazy man? No. I cannot be, this is not in my nature. I'm very, very engaged man by my nature. This is But I have learned one thing I want to share with you. What is the use of all this planning? You may go to the wrong projects. You may support the wrong projects. You may waste your time on the wrong frontiers. I let go of this and I let Krishna decide and guide my life. And how I do this is I put in what is truly important, what has to do with a real eternal spiritual life, with the essential life, the life of myself, you know, not the life of the mind, but the which is always changing. I put in first things first. Do you remember there was once this speaker? He was a good man. He's dead now. Stephen Covey was his name. He put a container which looked like an aquarium, you know, on the table, and he started to put big stones like this in the container until it was full, and then he asked his audience, "Is it full?" And they said, "Yes," because it was full with big stones. He smiled, and then he took a whole bucket with small gravel. Gravel in Deutsch is Kieselsteine, so small stones. And he put them on, and he shook the whole thing, and it was amazing. So many more small stones found their place on the side and underneath and at the bottom of the aquarium. "Is it full now?" he asked. And of course, the audience go restless. They knew something else would come, and some would say, "No, most probably not." So then he smiled and he put a bucket of sand in it, and there's so much sand was still filling in. "Is it full now?" And everyone knew he has something in mind. So, no, it's not full. He put in a whole bucket of water until everything was, the big stones, the small stones, and the sand were all surrounded with lots of water. Then he asked, "What's the point?" And the normal answer, which I also thought at the beginning, was, well, there's always place in life to do more. There's always, let us say, another day in your planner, huh? And you can go there, you can do this, you can make this phone call, you can arrange this, you can write this, you can meet with a person, you could do this, you could work this, you could look at this, you could, but that's not the point. According to he said, if I would not have put the big stones in first, there would have been no place left for them. If I would have filled the aquarium with gravel or with sand, there would have been no place for the big stones. So he said, in our lives, we can waste our time by taking care of the small projects, the small things, this and this and this and this and this and this. But we can also take first the big things, take care of them, and then the small things will arrange themselves. My dear devotees, this is the little wisdom which I have to share from my own experience. Is by putting Krishna first. I mean, he is first. He's the origin of all of this. He's the origin of your mind. He's the origin of your heart. He's the origin of the body. He's the origin of the world. By putting him first, all the other things will find their place in relationship to Krishna. Remember, the world is a reflection. It is moving. It is transitions. It is based on change. There have always been change. Wars, political maneuvers, this and that. Your body changes always. If you want to describe in one word what this world is, it's change, a place of change. That is the nature of the world, and it is the smaller changes, like in your organs as you grow old, but there are also bigger changes and forced changes, where things are turning upside down. This is nothing new. It is absolutely in the style of the world. But find in all this change, in all this jagat. Jagat means moving. It's a fluid reality. Find something which is permanent. Find your big stones and take care of them. And somehow I have noted, when I'm sheltered at Krishna's lotus feet, the other things are easily finding themselves. It's easily getting, they get their place. Now, as you notice, I'm looking at the watch here. I think this is the end, no? It's 9:04. I've just started. I have so many more subjects, but let me see. We started at around 8 o'clock. Now it's 9 o'clock. Yes, it's 1 hour we have talked. Now I want to see if you have any questions, anything which you would like. I also want to say, I wrote for all of you a New Year's message, which I think is very nice. It has a lot of nice things. It asks a question: Are you only existing, or are you living there? And it is can be found on my Facebook. I also have made a little movie. I'm Mr. Computer. I have become Mr. Computer, and so many things, and a small, really nice little movie. It's called Fan Your Inner Flames. You can find all this in the computer, on Facebook. Sachinandan Swami, something. You know, you are working with computers. Good. So here is our Gaurahari. Hare Krishna, Gaurahari.
Thank you so much, Kumar, for this beautiful lecture, very practical, and the touch of Krishna Lila into it. I felt it's very auspicious to start the year with this these thoughts. And we have actually three very nice questions in my eyes. And I guess we should have the time to go through them all. I will start with the first one. Dear Satchinandana Swami, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your incessant support in reminding us to teach, to search for that conscious inner loving connecting with Radha and Krishna, with so many practical suggestions. I try to search for that personal inner connection with the divine couple more and more. Yet still, sometimes I feel like swimming in a seemingly endless ocean of bitter mercy, with no land in sight. Then everything becomes quite bleak, and I can get quite anxious whether there is really someone on the other end. Do Guru, Prabhupada, and Radha and Krishna really notice my shallow attempt to surrender to them? Are they really there at all? How can I be sure that Radha and Krishna are really there in such confusing moments? Do I just hang on, or do I miss something? Your aspiring servant, Vir Krishna Prabhu.
The ocean of bitter mercy. And there seems to me no shore in sight. We cannot see a shore. Yes, I do know these experiences very much. I also have seen desperation. I also have seen hopelessness. I also have looked for the shore in a seemingly endless ocean of just hopelessness and so on. I have two answers, really. Learn to see the light in darkness. This is my first answer. I will explain in a second. And know where, even in the worst times, you can find some shelter, something which helps immediately. The first point, learn to see light in the darkness. See, we live in a myth, as in our times, of the self-fulfilled, self-empowered, self-appointed individual who is mastering his life, often with the magic of money and technology. That's a myth. But we very much, the way civilization goes, it goes to this self-empowered, you yourself, empower yourself with self-help book, education, money, to be the master of your life. And we try to blend out all the reality which has nothing to do with, which contradicts our attempts for mastering our lives. No, we try to get rid of suffering. But isn't suffering part of human existence? You can't have the day without having a night in this world. Summer is not possible without winter. We had just a few days ago such strong cold here that our heating system was no longer able to deal with it. And it was really cold. I dressed in all my warm cloth and the jacket inside the house and did jumping jacks to just survive. It was just such mean cold. Now it's since 2 days it's better and we have it's warm enough. And I was thinking, should we now call the heating man and so on? I was thinking, this is part of life, you know. This is because I want to see light in the darkness also. I don't want to always run and avoid these important aspects of reality. This is, you will see in life that often your difficulties were your greatest teacher, but not at the moment, but we forget in the moment when we suffer that this is, that we only see the sharp pain. But when we are a little out of the pain, we think, wow, I've seen so many things, I understood so many things, I'm so very, very good. I've learned so much. So learn to see while you're going through the experience that this is Krishna. I'm getting my old karma. I'm going through my old karma. See, I became so convinced that I stopped taking painkillers. When there is toothache or something, because I felt, let me just go through it. It's part of human existence. Why blend this out? You know, struggle. I have to learn to be more tolerant. But then I learned, when there's too much sharp pain, it's actually good to take painkillers. I learned from a doctor, because if you have too much pain, you in the body, your resistance and your ability to become healthy is taken up with just surviving the pain and pushing the pain back with your nerve system. So it's good to take painkiller. So, also, with this I come to the second point. I find out in the greatest bitterness of life, in the greatest disappointment, there is still something which helps immediately, and that is sadhu sangha. The devotee, the Ramanujacharya says, when all your sadhanas fail you, nothing works, still there's one thing which you have. Stay close to the devotees. Staying close to the devotees can mean to listen to lectures, even online, you know, all these things, it is possible. So my first recommendation is don't just become too much absorbed in fighting with the darkness, resisting everything. See that these are teachers. They teach you something. If nothing better, then they teach you a healthy distance so that you don't run after the illusion like in our example of the racing track. You become disillusioned and then you can make this healthy distance. Don't suffer any longer. But the second thing is, if it gets too intolerable, you might have to take a little help. And I find Sadhu Sangha is always doing that. The difficulty is that when miseries come, we tend to shrink away from the Sangha, and we withdraw a little into our own little world. It's very interesting. I wanted to see what does the leader of a few million people, not a few, a good million, I don't know, 200 million people, tell his people as a New Year's message. I'm speaking of the Pope, who has, you know, there's a lot of Catholic or Christians around the world. What will he say? What is the message at this time? And he is a very interesting Pope. They are very intelligent, first of all. They are really studied in many subjects. You can't become a Pope if you are a fool. Knows many languages, knows so much philosophy, not just Christian philosophy. They're really trained. And he said, he was addressing the different miseries of the world, you know, wars, pandemic, what have you. You know, suicide rates and so on. And then he said, don't withdraw. Don't go back. Seek dialogue. Dialogue with your neighbors, dialogue with your friends and so on. And when I thought about it, it was a simple message, but very practical, very right on. When the miseries of material life are there and the pain becomes too big for you to bear, then have a heart-to-heart talk with trusted devotees. And that is possible only, my dear devotees, if you have invested in the relationships beforehand, so that they are, that the relationships can bear your burden, they can carry your burden and help you in this way. Therefore, you need to invest and in this way make strong relationships. So these two things I have. See light in the darkness as much as possible, and then when it is too strong, when there's so bitterness, then follow Ramanujacharya's advice. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. We will now have the next question, which is very short, but I think very deep. Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is...
But let me... Sorry, Gaurahari. See, yes. You are now Gaurahari is there. Do you know this human tendency when there's misery to withdraw? And then you are with your mind. And it becomes a downward spiral of negative emotions. Until somewhere you hit the bottom, it doesn't go deeper. And then... Don't withdraw. At least have a few relationships which can help you to carry your burden. That will be easy. I'm sorry. I want to make a point and want to make yes, Gaurahari.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I think it's a very deep point, and it was good to give it again. Should we go to the next question?
We must.
So the question is, my question is, what should we do if we are doing our daily sadhana with everything we have, including sincerity?
Including what?
Sincerity.
Yes.
Including sincerity. However, we can't seem to find emotional and mental shelter at a very subconscious level. Meaning we do the sadhana, but it seems it's very difficult to find this emotional or mental shelter at a subconscious level.
What to do at that time? Yeah. Thank you. These are wonderful questions, and you are such sincere audience. My God, I'm overwhelmed. Not overwhelmed. I'm really admiring. Yeah. Something is coming. The first. Yes. Don't always think I need to do more. And more, and this, and that sadhana, and or I need to read this book. I need to more. That kills you. You need to find essence. I would like to give you an example. Somehow, yesterday was not an easy day for myself. I want to talk personal now. I had slept only 3 hours, and somehow that's a little less. Even today I have only slept 3 hours because there's so much service. But yesterday I was. You know, when you sleep too little, the world seems to escape you. You can't grasp it any longer. The nerves are very thin, and everything is very. You can't get a grasp on your world any longer. It is clear. It is as normal. We need to sleep enough, but. I see this when Gokrishna doesn't sleep enough. He's just walking through the world and looking at the world, and there is not much connection any longer. And then there's only one remedy: go to bed. You know. And so. But I hadn't chanted my rounds. I had not completed all my rounds, and it was afternoon, and I was not able really to chant. I had never seen this in my life. I mean, I sat down to chant, but I became so restless, and I thought, my God, what's going on? I usually, this works for me, but now I couldn't. You know, it's just too. I think there are states in our life. I gave you a harmless example. I was only sleep deprived, but I'm speaking now of the other thing, the real heavy things. You're disturbed, you're agitated, you are upset with the situation or with someone, and you're desperate, nothing works, everything seems to go against you, whatever you touch is not working. And then you just seem to not be able to sit down peacefully and do Shravanam and Kirtanam, do your spiritual practice. You can't meditate when the mind is so upset. And this was yesterday, I got a taste of that. So I remembered. I said the first thing we have to do here is to make the mind calm now and to find some stability in here. And then I remembered my model It's not my model, it's a Vedic model, but I have often spoken about it, about how you can stabilize your life. It's the tree of life. You need to have roots, that is your spiritual practice, but you need physical well-being, you need emotional well-being, and you need some social well-being. You know, we human beings are embedded in a network of relationships, and it's necessary. If we take ourselves out of this network, we break down. We don't function any longer very well, unless we find a new network in which we can again communicate and learn and associate and obtain help and so on. So yesterday I thought my tree of life is not working at the moment, and I have studied a little bit as I become older, and I don't want to do less service. I have learned a little yoga and a little pranayama and all these things by which you can be physically and emotionally stronger. And I know a certain pranayama which you combine with the chanting, which makes the mind very stable. It is a mechanical process, not a devotional process. It is pranayama, you know, the certain breathing patterns which you do, which influence your nerves and which strengthens your nerves and which build up. And then somehow I could focus. I was myself very amazed by the efficiency of this. So when you have tried everything and still you feel the problems of material existence in an overwhelming way, it is most probably a sign that your tree of life is not strong. Because only if you have spiritual, physical, emotional, and social well-being as much as possible, it's not always possible to have all this intact, but as much as possible. Only when you have these types of well-being, you develop what is called, here comes a difficult English word, resilience. In Deutsch ist das eine innere Widerstandsfähigkeit. Nicht? Resilience. Look it up in the dictionary if you don't speak English or German as your mother tongue. I again say what the word resilience. Maybe Gaurabhavani can type, I see Gaurabhavani there, can type the word in the chat because it's an important word for devotees. You know, that inner ability to deal with outside pressure. You need to have that. And it comes as a result of physical, let me see, yes, thank you, Akanti, resilience, thank you. You can look it up in English. It is an ability to deal with pressure, and it is a result, sorry, I lost my thought, it's a result of a combination of spiritual, physical, emotional, and social well-being. Then you have it. This is an important point, my dear devotees. You can't always find solutions only on the spiritual level for problems which are developing on other levels, physical, emotional, and social levels. You could find solutions on the spiritual level alone if you would have been a devotee who's Jataruchi, it's called in Sanskrit, who is born in an ocean of taste, who has so much taste and and that he is almost an ecstatic human being. But that is very rare. That is very rare. Maybe sometimes you feel joy, but not constantly. Then you do need the support of the tree of life. You absolutely need it. Otherwise you are uprooted in your life, and you will not be able to deal with what life throws at you. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Umash. Time will be up, but we just feel we don't want to this Sangha Mela to end. I don't know if I'm...
Yeah, we still have devotees on the call. I mean, yeah. Early birds. So I suggest, Gaurahari, you are very wise. Please pick one last question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the last. And then, Gaurahari, do we have facility for darshan or...
Yes.
Today also?
Yes, there will be we will end with the darshan.
Good. So now we have the last question.
So this is a question from Nityananda Kari.
Oh, Nityananda Kari, Hare Krishna. I see your name there in the corner of the computer. Yes.
So the question is, does it mean if we let go and let God...
Yes.
That our practical life circumstances will become easy or easier? Is that something we should expect to happen, or measure how successful we are in letting go and letting God?
Uh-huh, I understand. This is a very subtle question, Nityananda Kari. In Sanskrit, you would say it's very shukshma. Shukshma means subtle. So the concept which we look at now is when you let go of something, you can also let go of the suffering of it. It's an important teaching of the 11th canto, the Avadhut Gita, or what is it called? Uddhava Gita. There you find how letting go relieves you from suffering. It's a bird, a falcon, who has hunted something and wants to now take his food and bring it somewhere and then eat it. But while he's flying away with the food, he's viciously attacked by another bird. Another falcon who just tears his feathers apart and just digs his talons, the nails, into his body. And the first falcon thinks, I can't defend myself very well. I have my two talons. Talons are these claws which the birds have. Are busy in holding the food, and as long as I hold on to this other bird, he will most probably kill me. So he lets go of it. It falls down, and the second falcon dives down and catches the food and flies away. This is an example how letting go can free you of misery. Letting go of certain attitudes, certain behavior, certain mindsets can help you to become free of misery. But be careful. When you expect freedom of suffering to come immediately, then it is this attitude which still connects you with suffering. You now think, I want to become free of this suffering, but you're still mentally connected and engaged with this. Therefore, in this little slogan, let go, let God, or I said let go, let Krishna. But it rhymes so nice, let go, let God, you know. So you need to fill the space of your heart slowly with Krishna. And in my experience, or let us say in the experience, in the way of the way the Shastra says, this is a gradual process. You know, that God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, and we really need to be aware of this, happens only when you do regular daily installments. It's like health. You are Dr. Nityananda Kari, you know yourself. The health happens with a few factors. You need to have the right diet, you need to have sleep, you need to have exercises, and it's something you need to always take care of. You need to have a habit of creating a good health. And if you become unhealthy, you need to put all these things in place. I remember I became ill in England, and I thought, oh, I know, I didn't take my vitamins, I was too active, I did not take my walks, I did not take exercises, I didn't eat regularly, I ate at the wrong time, and now everything has broken down, so that now illness can easily get me. I can easily catch something, it is easily there. It was also the first time I got COVID. I had totally neglected my health, and then I had no resistance when it came. I had no way to fight it. So in if you want to have a good a practical life, a good spiritual life, you need on a daily basis and regular installments, take care of your spiritual health. You can't expect a quick fix, you know, I'm letting go. I let Krishna. New Year's message, this was the subject. And then expect immediate suffering, freedom of suffering. No, you will need to build up your life and all these four dimensions again, you know, spiritual, physical, emotional, and so on. And I know it takes patience, and I myself always do the mistakes. I always neglect aspects, and then yes, then something comes. Anyways, I will learn. I'm just learning. Soon I will have this. But even if I do everything perfect, Nityananda Kari, even if you do everything perfect, material sufferings will be there. So learn to see light in the darkness. Good. Oh, Krishna. So now I would suggest our Guru Hari will and Ekanti, they should be very merciful to us. I so much must say I enjoy this darshans personally. I stay up till the end of each of the darshans because somehow we are so close to Radha and Krishna when the camera comes close. So I will say goodbye to all of you. I wish you a wonderful new year. I hope we have opportunities to see each other, not only on the social media or what is called on the computer, but hopefully there will be Jamashtami. Let's hope for it. I think it will be possible because I heard from few friends who are doctors that yes, it will peak a little bit more, but in the, we should have a peaceful summer and so on. I hope it's possible. Please let us all come to the wonderful Jamashtami celebration of Radha Madan Mohan. If it is somehow possible, we will beg Gaurari and the Goloka Dhamis to provide some shelter for us, some warm bed, and then we will celebrate like anything. Good. And one small thing also is, I need to say this, the devotees from the Govardhan retreat have told me, you know, we gave the seminar, what was it called, Developing Divine Aspirations. The same title you will find in the advertisement of the Govardhan retreat, but I will have, this is an unlimited subject, I will have different approaches, it will be different than what you heard already here. So if you feel, if you have time and you feel enthusiastic and drawn to this, please come and visit us. It starts, when Gaur Krishna? 5th of January it starts. You can type in VIHE, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, or how's the, something, Govardhan Center, Govardhan Center webpage. I don't know the computer things so much. You can find it on the computer. Good. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you. All the best. Happy New Year. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. We also like to thank all the speakers for their wonderful service for this festival. Also, all the devotees who are translating in different languages and to all of those who are helping for that. I think if there is one thing I will keep from this entire Sangha Mela, I think from different speakers, it became very strong, this point of contemplation to actually deeply think of all those subject matter we were hearing and really walk toward application in our life. All the lectures are recorded and available on our Facebook. I'm sure it might be very valuable to go again and not let everything fall through our hands like sand, but that we can actually take full advantage of all what we have heard during this festival. So we look forward to see you, like Maharaj say, also in life, hopefully soon. And thank you for participating. And now we have the last beautiful darshan of Radha Madan Mohan.